According to a poll using Common Core, 12 out of 5 people listen to The Kate Daly Show. Call 888-673-1450. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down.
Hi there. Welcome. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. So happy about that. I really am. Glad you're spending some time with me today. You can call up 888-673-1450. Milty's still out and not feeling well, and so we wish him the best, and hopefully he'll get back soon. Wow, I've got a show for you today. Let me just tell you, I want to go through a story that is so hard to fathom for all of us in the next hour. I'll be doing that I want to lay this out, and I want your opinion on it. And I don't think many people noticed that this certain case went through about 25 years ago that has a huge impact on what's going on right now. And so I'll be doing that in the next hour. And then Brian Hyde will join me in the final hour. And I want to play a little bit of the ridiculous Meghan McCain. Only can stand about a minute of her, so I'll play about a minute of her going off about Syria. But I also want to play a clip from Syrian Girl, who we've actually had on the show. And I want to get both takes side by side. You're going to like that. On Syria, because that seems to be the demonization now for Trump. And I want to clarify even further some of the things we talked about on the show. Welcome to the show, my friends. 888-673-1450. I want to get your take on a number of things going on locally and also kind of regionally. I was a little stunned, to tell you the truth. LeBron James, you know, just listening to that Reagan clip coming in, it reminded me of reading this story. And LeBron under fire after blaming China Rowe on misinformed Rockets GM. And, you know, it's so interesting the way things are going culturally. You know, you can demonize Trump and you can call him every name in the book and you don't have to have any proof, but we can bow to China. It's got to amaze you like it does me. We're in a period of time where they're trying to make communism look a little light, you know, a little fun. Not so bad. And here we are in a society that's embracing that. And we have some of our sports people doing this. We have the NBA doing this. And I really want your take on that, because you've got to be surprised. You've just got to be surprised. I'm sad to hear that. I'm really sad to hear that. There was also a new TV show. We might be covering this a little bit in the last hour, too. And this made its debut, and you're not gonna believe this. This new TV show asks, "Do you love meat enough to cook your pet?" Yeah, let me say that again. Do you love meat enough to cook your pet? Remember how I said this is going to go very political, and this isn't about whether you're trying to eat less meat or not. My husband and I actually feel better if we don't eat as much meat, I think, as maybe we grew up with, you know, meat at every meal. And we actually like how we feel better. But I always want to be able to choose. I kind of like the choice. And so this really stunned me. They're calling it one of the most shocking ultimatums ever delivered on television. Go vegetarian or we kill your pet. Yeah. And it's called Meat, M-E-A-T, Meet the Family. Yeah, Meet the Family. There's a huge onslaught on this. Have you noticed that? A lot of press about... And we've talked about it on the show about making sure that fast food restaurants are taking this leap and so forth. And I'm, you know, me, I love talking about nutrition and I love talking about having a healthier body. But what this is doing scares me, because they are demonizing it to the point that, well, let me just tell you, this show, Meet the Family, M-E-A-T, not only will a family of unrepentant carnivores have to let an animal they've adopted and grown to love go for slaughter. If they refuse to stop eating meat, they will be asked to cook and eat it. And experts are saying that we have to eat less meat to stave off climate change. See how that's going so politically wrong under the guise of human-caused climate change. And so, they four heavy meat-eating families, as described as carnivores. You didn't know that was your new classification, did you? Are going to look after the animal, which ends up most often on their plates. And they're calling the show the most transgressive of the year as it made its debut in Cannes, France. It's not sex or drugs anymore. Meat is becoming the next taboo. And they're right. They're actually focusing on this pretty heavily. And that's why I bring it up on the show. Not for the obvious, you know, health things that we should probably be eating a ton more vegetables. And that's why I actually do Balance of Nature, too, in addition to what I'm eating in vegetables. But my gosh, they're making people out to be, now it's the hardcore Christian gunslinger, meat-eating carnivore who doesn't care about Mother Earth. That's what they're doing with this story. And so I just, they're going to confront what they're calling the reality of an animal's journey from field to plate. And they said they want to examine animal behavior and intelligence. I mean, I would never want to be cruel to an animal or anything like that, but I think we do have dominion over the animals. So on that note, I just wanted to let you know, meat the family might come to the United States, and I'm not quite sure how it would be received over here, to tell you the truth. But over there, it's becoming quite the shocking show. So I'm just kind of letting you know about that. It's pretty amazing. So I also want to hit on, by the way, a spoonful less sugar and a tad more fat. The U.S. diets are still lacking. And so that came out today, too, that we're going a little less sweet and a little crunchier, but there's still too much sugar, white bread, and artery-clogging fat. And so that came out from the Medical Association. I want to let you know that. By the way, I was reminding my daughter, take vitamin D to kind of stave off D3, to stave off all the colds and flu, because a lot more people are getting sick. And vitamin D3, I think, is one of those surprising things that they forget to take. We are just not getting enough. So I've had wonderful guests on this show, even locally, that have come on the show to talk about how even 20 minutes as the sun is rising to witness the sunrise actually does amazing things. Just 20 minutes out there will do just wonders for your health. But also, we're just not getting that vitamin D, especially in the winter. And so make sure that you're taking some kind of supplement. We just don't get it anymore. A supplement in addition to eating, you know, rich in foods, vitamin D3. But I don't think people think of that immediately when they think vitamin C, right? Not vitamin D3, but make sure you're getting enough of that too. I take extra every day on that just to keep myself well. There was a letter in to Save St. George Academy. And if you want to call up about this and give me your thoughts on this, you're more than welcome to do so. Because once we talk about this, I want to talk about a report that was done that was exposing what the unions were trying to tell teachers to teach. And I want to talk about that, too, on the heels of this. But I thought this was really interesting, the survival of St. George Academy. And they're tuition free. But in offering tuition free, they get funding, right, from the government. And so they're wanting to, well, on Thursday last week, the Utah State Charter School Board members decided to unilaterally skip steps in their own accountability framework plan by bypassing the warning and prohibitionary periods for the institution. And they recommended to close St. George Academy. And there's so many people upset by this. You're welcome to call up 888-673-1450. And, you know, we need all of the schools that want to be open, like St. George Academy, want them to give them the ability to thrive, right? You want to give them the ability to thrive. I'm almost thinking maybe going tuition free might obviously hurt them in this way, just because they can obviously have this kind of decision handed down from the charter school board. But I think, you know, Chris Ann Hall was great in pointing out some of the problems that we have in the public school system running the charter schools, too, because of the funding at the base, and that they have the opportunities to get out of some of the stuff that we complain about, right? As far as Common Core, you know, more maybe a few more abilities to actually sort of say, you know, we're not for this kind of testing or helping parents to opt out, where the public school system isn't going to do that. But with St. George Academy, this letter especially was writing about how amazing it is and how it was a turning point, and that they want to make sure that these things stay open. And is there kind of a concerted effort really to close up any schools that really aren't exactly run like the public school system, even though this is it's similar, and they have to do a lot of things because, of course, we have the problem of funding, combining funding and getting funding in state ways and obviously in the federal ways. But what can we do when you want to keep these kinds of options open? And so I always applaud Chris Ann Hall for her work in trying to let people understand. Because I remember her saying this is extremely unpopular. Everybody wants to think that some schools are completely off limits to the direction of the public school system. It's not exactly true. And maybe this is a good chance, I think, to sort of say, how separate can you be? Because I know people that started that wanted to start schools and they could not get accredited. They just could not get accredited. They make the system so obtrusive and hard and difficult that they just can't do it. And so this is an option for people that they can choose. And I want to make sure at least we have some options. And so they were talking about in this letter that to the editor of St. George News that they acted prematurely, the Utah State Charter Board School. And why are they doing this so swiftly? And I guess I have the same question. Why are they doing it so swiftly? So you're welcome to call up on that if you want to right after I get back from this break. But it is a great question, isn't it? And I it seems as though I'm seeing more of this go on other places too. And what's the deal? What's the deal, I ask? Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Girls do it. Take Me Home, Country Roads from The Voice. And I love that. I thought it was great. I thought they're talented. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you're tuning in. And of course, you can call up 888-673-1450. Lots of feelings about the St. George Charter School. And I want to see our charter schools remain. Maybe this is a good time to try to put a lot of pressure on the state in getting out of alternative schools and removing themselves out of the equation. Wouldn't that be nice to have a lot of different choices that the state cannot, or some of these boards cannot get involved in as far as working through or with in any part of the state or federal government? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, So my daughter went to St. George Academy for 2 years. And we had less than an awesome experience. It was, their motto is be yourself, be accepted, and that was not the case.
Oh.
They accept you as long as you regurgitate what they want you to regurgitate.
Mm.
My daughter and her friends were very passionate about their pro-life stance.
Mm-hmm.
They were told they could put up posters, so they did. And after which, within 24 hours, the director had taken all the posters down.
Wow.
And not given them a reason why. But they let the LGBTQ posters fly everywhere, let the gay flag fly everywhere.
Ouch.
So, you know,
ouch. Yeah.
Some of the teachers were awesome. So I don't really have anything bad to say about the teachers themselves. They were pretty open to my daughter having very different ideas.
Mm-hmm. Conservative ideas, would you say? Conservative?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
She was teaching other kids real history and, like, bucking the system like crazy because that's how I raised her.
Good.
And
it's good. I like that.
And the teachers were fine, but the kids were not. And the director and the people were not. Time and time again, they just had their stuff taken down, thrown in the garbage. And so the teachers are, like, a lot of them are ex-college professors. So
mm-hmm.
you could say that the indoctrination is running deep already there.
Ouch. Ouch. Yeah.
And they have a very strong LGBTQ, let's, you know, fly our freak flags all the time.
Yeah,
for
some reason, you know, I think that we're seeing a lot of this, and I think they're so afraid of media attention or lawsuit because those groups get so political and they go after people like no other, that people are getting so fearful that they're making, you know, it seems as though I'm seeing more of this last year especially, that it's in favor of not getting sued. They'll make sure those kinds of things happen, but to the pro-life group, it's, you know, you're not allowed, you know, that kind of sentiment.
Right.
So I am seeing a lot more
right.
of that in general. But
right. And we enrolled her there hoping to have something different, mm-hmm. a little bit different experience. So I'm all about charter schools opening
sure,
up and having
sure.
choice to take your kids wherever you want to.
Right, right.
But man, when you're just like, she was just so frustrated because, you know, they say, we want to hear all the voices. No, they don't. I mean,
ooh,
they just
yeah.
didn't.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate that.
Highly frustrating.
I really appreciate the point of view. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling up. Phil fills it a little bit there. Okay. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to step back from the forest and look at the entire forest and not the trees on mm-hmm. charter schools. Remember, they are government schools.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they are a result of the collapse or let's say the failure of government schools. You know, all the child abuse, all the propaganda to teach the kids to vote themselves into slavery. So what parents did is they wanted to get their kids out of this general public schools. So they came up with this alternative charter schools where they're just a little less regulated,
mm-hmm.
and that's about it, but they're still government schools.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of charter schools are better than the average public school, and a lot aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is a means to get people to continue to support government education propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get, they should be abolished, but
yeah.
so should all government schools. This is really important people realize. It's just a deregulation sum to sell to people that this is a better alternative.
Right.
But they still are controlled. The vouchers is based on the same principle.
Yeah.
The people are fed up with particular about
yeah,
public schools, so
what,
we want vouchers. We can take them to whatever public school we want to.
Right. Thank you for that. That's what Chris Ann was talking. Thank you so much. That's what Chris Ann was talking about when I mentioned Chris Ann was the voucher system and how it's a little deceiving because I think people think they're completely separate. They're not completely separate, but like Mark said, you know, they are very they're a little less regulated, and so people like that option. But that option is not free from the entanglement of the public school system. 888-673-1450. You're welcome to call up and talk about the St. George Charter School, because this is going on in a lot of different places. So I know that anyone listening to this right now, no matter where you live, this is going to be an issue because we're seeing more of this. And I feel sad for the caller before last who had that kind of experience, because I would hope that we would still have avenues where I'm going to say conservative thought, because I think you all know what I mean. Conservative thoughts, conservative viewpoints are at least celebrated too. I mean, I'm seeing it. I know you're probably seeing it, that the pro-life side is being shunned while the LGBTQ side is, you know, going up with, you know, this strong message, because people are truly afraid. See, if you do this to pro-life, pro-life isn't going to come at you with a horde of people trying to, you know, send death threats or take you down or sue you. They're not going to do that. And I think the people at the helm of some of those kinds of decisions, they know that, but they know the LGBTQ group will do that. And so much for love and tolerance, huh? They will do it. And so we've got a huge problem. 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450, if you want to join in this conversation about St. George Charter School. And that decision, honestly, and this is why I started out the show this way, I actually think this is a great lesson in the fact that we don't really have a huge amount of choice. Right now, it's if you want to be free from some of these systems, you absolutely have to take your child out and homeschool. And a lot more people are becoming a lot more welcomed to that idea, given the fact that there's so many alternatives now to homeschool. It's not like you have to teach your children 24/7. There's lots of avenues, even like Dr. Duke Pesta's school, that can help you with that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for all you do.
Sure.
Just my question is, when that, like your previous caller noted, when that happens to our children, is there any recourse that we have in terms of standing up for what we want, say, go to the school and ask, you know, as a parent, whatever, where do the posters go, et cetera? Is there any recourse we have in terms of the education system to change things that are happening?
It's a great question. Okay, thank you.
Answer off there.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll take you off the air, but I'll answer that. Thank you. I really appreciate that question, and it's such a good one. But here's my answer. They know, like I said, that there are groups out there, like the LGBT group, that will get pretty nasty, that will get litigious. I'm not saying all LGBTQ people are like this. I'm saying the political factions that are the ones that squeak the loudest about not being able to kind of overrun everybody with one particular message. And if you don't like it, then they demonize you, that group. Whereas the more pro-life kind of groups aren't going to be like that. But guess what? We have to be a little bit more like that. Not in the nastiness section, because I don't think that's us, and I don't want to be something we're not. But if they don't get some heat from the parents, if the parents do not react and kind of band together to react to certain things, we'll just continue to see it get worse. So can you do it without the nastiness of all of the threats and the litigious stuff? Yes. But there aren't enough parents that will actually act out, and so, or at least not act out, but at least go to the powers that be to say, we're not okay with this, or even just threaten to pull their kids out if they continue on the roads that they're continuing on. If they had more people like that banding together, you'd see some change. But I think the problem is we're just not a group that's prone to do that. And I think we don't know how to, you know, we see these other groups do it with the nastiness, and we're not quite sure where that line is supposed to be drawn. And so we kind of, I don't know, sort of get a little, you know, trepidatious about going after that and sending letters and sending emails. We just do not have a base like that. When the LGBT group went after me, they actually had me in chat rooms, my name, and so people from all over the country were the ones posing the most complaints here locally, not even people locally. There was a group here locally that is all about, if you don't embrace what we want, then you're the enemy. But it was coming from everywhere else. That's how much they band together. That's how coordinated and organized they are. And they go after the attack like crazy. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Go right ahead. You only have about a minute and a half. So.
Oh, well, I'll be quick then. You know, talking about charter schools, there's been a number of instances where the government has come in and said, if you receive one penny of government money, then we can come in and control your curriculum.
Yeah.
And
Yep.
And there have been a lot of charter schools that have ended up closing because they couldn't accomplish what they had set out to do because the government was controlling their curriculum, pulling those strings.
Gotcha.
And so it's something that people don't understand. They think, well, our charter says that we should be able to do this. Well, it doesn't matter what your charter says if they decide they don't like it.
Yeah.
They come in and they tell you what to do or they pull your funding away.
Yep.
And the problem with vouchers is the government considers a voucher their money.
Yeah.
And so they like the voucher system so that if you can give money to a private school, then they can come in and control the curriculum in a private school the same way.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, I'm, you know what, isn't this kind of a call to action to kind of get people to understand what the difference is and what it's not, and maybe that we need to embark on maybe other options and maybe homeschooling options even more?
It is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad that we don't have the support in the private sector or right. private education.
Right.
You know,
right.
speaking as one that had a private school and ran it, there is so much hostility towards us because we were trying to do something different and unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people wanted us to have public school with prayer.
Yeah, it's true, though. It's true, though. It's funny how that, yeah, I'm glad you said that because it's funny kind of how that stance is. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. So glad you're tuned in. Just talking about St. George Charter School, and there's lots of thoughts about this going on. And I'm so glad that we have this venue, at least, to sort of get together and talk about these kinds of things, because I do think it's a wake-up call, number one. I do think it's a wake-up call to understand that charter schools are not exempt from the state and the feds. I think that that we need kind of a wake-up call, not to general, because I think that we think they're separate. I also think that there's such a disconnect with homeschooling, too. And when I view homeschooling and when I talk about it with people, one of the biggest things I get is, well, your kids be weird, you know? I just want to say, I always laugh at that because, no, actually, if that were true, if public school made people not weird, you wouldn't have all of the different kinds of groups of kids at a high school. You wouldn't have anyone shoved into a locker for being weird, would you? And so, no, parents have the most influence on kids socially. And the involvement in church or sports and all of those things together with the parents really dictate what those kids will be like, will turn out like. Homeschooling does not do that, does not make your kids weird. It's so funny that comes up so often. And I think that's one of the misnomers about homeschooling your children, which is kind of an interesting thing, because if you really look at it, there's no way. I don't know how that came to be. But homeschooling is becoming a lot more popular, and there's a lot more kids that are in their late teens and 20s that are considering doing that just because of some of the problems. And let me tell you why. William Jasper actually put out, Bill Jasper put out this report, and I thought this was so interesting. I wanted to share it with you. This is why the kids are thinking, hey, when I have kids, I'm going to homeschool. Because number one, they can see the lie in, no, your kids are not going to be, you know, strange or different just because they're homeschooled. That has to do with the parents. The parents always deliver those social skills. Has nothing to do with the schools in general at all, the type of schooling. But I think this kind of report, if there's anything that'll help you to understand what our future holds, listen up. The American Federation of Teachers, the AFT, a radical union, reaches into tens of thousands of classrooms. It's pushing saturation indoctrination of race into every single subject. That's coming from on high at their highest levels of management. They want, in every subject, they want racism, racial identity, bias, prejudice, discrimination, hate, white supremacy, and of course, equity, tolerance, and diversity. And so, all grade levels, and of course, you know, the 1.7 million member union, it's telling its teachers that they must focus not on helping the students learn the basic subject matter. Oh, no, no. And academic skills that you think that they would be learning, right? You know, to be prosperous or productive or self-supporting citizens. No, that is not what they are pushing and not what they're really concerned about in this union, this American Federation of Teachers, but that teachers must instead become nonstop agitators for racial justice, full on social justice warriors, and full-time race psychologists inside and outside of the classroom. So in the fall 2019 issue of the AFT Journal, which is the American Educator, it's devoted to confronting bias in schools, classroom conversations on race, ethnicity, and identity. They actually have a title that's, you know, pretty accurate. Compounding bias in schools. That's exactly what they're doing. Inflaming racial tensions and hatred in schools. That's honestly, this is what's going on. And so the AFT president, Weingarten, he was leading off the issue with an, so this is from them in their own print. This is not some theory that we're grasping at here. Led off in an issue on an attack on President Donald Trump, declaring the president is leading a homegrown hate movement. And in her Where We Stand column, this is the AFT president, the Teachers American Teachers Association president, she was proclaiming that President Trump has trampled rights enshrined in the Constitution and waged a war on truth. And he has fanned biases that aim to dehumanize the other and that erode our democracy. Yeah. The head of the teachers calling this a democracy. Does that just make you want to bang your head against a wall? She went on to say he is enamored of despotism and distances our allies. We can't ignore Trump's bigotry and cruelty. Woo! Doesn't even back that up with any facts. Or the fact, I love how she calls it a fact, of his erratic behavior is intended to create chaos and confusion. No, I think the government, mainstream, and intelligence agencies are doing that. I think he's just responding to it. So the anti-Trump tirade is following a Weingarten, and as she is asserting that teachers are called to be, listen to this, teachers are called to be guardians of democracy. Not the republic in which we stand, but some democracy, I guess, and cultivators of decency. Do you know what a cultivator of decency is? I'd love to know what her definition of a cultivator of decency. She said, this is what teachers are now. So we've segued into learning math and basic science and the composition of a sentence. And now we are supposed to view them as cultivators of decency in whatever that means for them. So she also says teachers must help young people value members of other groups. You know what that means, right? And classrooms must be places where, this is in her view, where disagreements are over ideas, not people, and dissenting views are respectfully heard, not shouted down. You know what that means, right? That means that conservative views are shouted down while the liberal progressive views get to, you know, reign high. So I always find it funny when they're all about equity and all about talking about how they want things to be so fair, although that's not exactly how things are in the reality of it. And really what it is you better let us have the bigger voice. Otherwise, we will trample you completely. And so there was a show, I think No Safe Spaces coming out. I think Prager's behind that one. And it's going to really talk about the fact this annihilation of free speech. So I just wanted to talk about that for just a moment, because her view, the president of this organization that controls so many classrooms, her view of decency and civility and tolerance, apparently does not extend to the tens of millions of deplorables, right, that voted for Donald Trump, and tens of millions more that disapprove of the union's propaganda concerning the LGBTQ programming, gun control, global warming, and radical agenda items. And we're seeing this all over the place. It's interesting when they put it in print themselves. That's really interesting. And so, you know, there's no bones about it. This is the direction they want to go in. They want to call themselves teachers in general, cultivators of decency in a way of, well, we're not so decent. We're actually going to applaud the liberal progressive message, you know, that of the what, 3 percentile, 5 percentile of the country, while the rest of you just are lost in the equation. So in addition to this and this article that, that came out, that was provided by American Educators, article that they put out, was this, Assessing and Interrupting Intolerance at School. There were two authors behind this, Maureen Costello and Dillard, and they were behind this. And guess who Costello is? Right, because as she's writing for ATF Journal, which is the teachers' union, one of the big teachers' unions, Costello is the senior staffer at Southern Law, Southern Poverty Law Center. Yeah, the SPLC, one of the most corrupt agencies I've ever seen. Very, very pro George Soros. Whatever George Soros wants, they're behind. They are a viciously biased organization, regularly defames and demonizes pro-life, pro-family, pro-morality, Christian, patriotism, anything like that. And Costello's the director of their teaching tolerance program. Don't you love that? The curriculum for students is in thousands of schools in political correctness and Marxist political dogma. So let me say this again. Costello, who's a senior staffer at the Southern Poverty Law Center, has a teaching tolerance program, okay, and writes for one of the biggest teachers' unions in the country. And we don't think there's a problem with public education? Wow. Back in 2011, Jasper also exposed protecting rights, loyal Americans targeted by the SPLC. They have really atrocious materials. They are the foremost bully group. They have adoring promotion of Bill Ayers, the leader in the 60s and 70s of the Students for a Democratic Society, probably Alexandria Cortez's, you know, favorite role model. And they were the ones that were the campus rioters, you know, the bombers, murders of the Weather Underground. I actually play an opening clip that has that in it, where they're admitting to it, talking about it from the whistleblower that exposed what they were doing as they were meeting. But you have a senior staffer from the Southern Poverty Law Group, the very vicious group that goes after people with any values at all and demonizes them, writing for and has a teaching program for the teachers union. There's a few teachers unions in the country, and this is a very, very big one, this one that I'm talking about. That's a sad sight. That is a sad sight to see. So 3 years ago, you know, the SPLC was really going after this in schools. And I'll tell you something. The second they could demonize Trump as being a racist, which isn't true, and his many employees will tell you this, his ex-girlfriend will tell you this, she's black. As you really review the facts, man, they went after that really, really hard. And as they were trying to get our country to believe that he was a racist, which has, I mean, it's absolutely the strangest argument to me, because that was a huge focus, right? The SPLC, that was a huge, huge focus for them in wanting to really kind of bolster that idea about Trump and really help in any way. And so help any group that was saying that about him. But I do find it kind of interesting that that we have this going on within our school system to combat Trump, because the president of this teachers union went after Trump in her article. not racism. I mean, she blamed racism in general, our hating nation, because of Trump. It's kind of interesting. And it goes right along with, I guess, the non-shocker that they would have people from the SPLC in on their organization. Makes sense now. Race agitator. That's exactly what they are, is a race agitator. And so what are we going to do about this? I honestly would hope, and I tell my kids this all the time, please, for the love of Pete, homeschool your children. We are, it's getting so absurd out there. And I feel bad because I know, personally know, a couple of teachers that I absolutely adore. And they're so good at what they do. And I've encouraged them, please go out on your own, teach on your own. There are parents that would pay you, that would get together and pay you to teach because you're that good. But it's a few. You've got all these young teachers, too, coming out of a very, very liberal college. You've got liberal colleges everywhere. They're not escaping that. And then they're okay with this propaganda getting handed down. There was a great article, if you can catch it, in Fee. We might talk about it in the third hour with Brian, about teachers that are kind of going off on their own and doing things on their own, and some ideas there, because we need as many ideas as we can get a hold of and solutions right now for this ever-growing problem. The fact that I'm in constant talks with my kids about climate change will tell you how much they are doing that in the classroom, that they shift sentences and conversation toward absorbing this man-made hoax, and not telling them that it exists, but it's not man-made. You won't hear that in a classroom. It's very rare if you do. And real history being taught? What about my piece on Harriet Tubman? Is that going to be taught in the classroom? Are teachers going to embrace that? Or are they going to teach that, you know, the world is bad because of you, you white human, you white American? Think about yesterday, Dr. Pesta's wonderful, wonderful 5-minute speech on Columbus Day. Are you going to hear that in the schools? No, you're going to hear the song, you know, when we came, somebody was already here, that song, and not explaining what happened before. And our kids are getting left out of this equation. And it's one of the saddest things to watch the kids get one side of this context. And it's not even a true context that's coming from the liberal college, the liberal progressive agenda. It's so sad. When I come back, I want to tell you a story. You're going to be listening to some tape. Man, just get ready for this next hour and embrace this, because I think this went under the radar and I don't think a lot of people realize that this actually went on. I want to draw some attention to it. It's so huge. It's on our radar now with the events going on right now. I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show.